This morning, our devotion comes from Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me into the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence, for with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick, and heretofore let them go and gather straw for themselves." And the tail of the bricks, and they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to you, God, to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the man, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get your straw where ye can find it. Ye not out of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily task, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore?" Are there any announcements before we go?
We're in God's Promise Renewed, part 2. And our lesson text is Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. So I thought we were further along in Exodus. But okay. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 through 13. "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land, out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, and unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land." And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge to the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Now, the Lord's already gone to Pharaoh once and spoke, and I guess it made Pharaoh angry, and he increased the burden upon the children of Israel and took away the straw so that it was very difficult for them to make the brick that they were commanded to make. And also, the amount wasn't decreased. They had to carry on as if they had plenty of straw. And so the children of Israel kind of turned against Moses here and said, "Well, you've made us, you brought this evil upon us. Now we're not leaving Egypt, and we've got this extra work that we've got to do. And why have you done this? You know." So the children of Israel, they're all discouraged and kind of down, and they're not believing God anymore. They're just in kind of a bad shape. And so Moses isn't very much further along than they are. He's asking God, "Why hast thou evil entreated this people, and why did you send me?" That's what he's saying to the Lord. Well, God gives him an answer. He says, "Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. You know, watch and see." And after God tells him, "You're going to see what I'll do to Pharaoh," then God repeats the promises that he has made to them in the past. He's reminded Moses of where this people has come from, the heritage that they have, and what's gone on in the past. He brings that all up to Moses. I believe he's doing that to strengthen Moses, to kind of let Moses see what God is capable of doing, to remind him that God is in charge, he's in control. Now, keep in mind, Moses has got he's in a difficult situation here. He's kind of, I guess you might say, between a rock and a hard place. He's got the children of Israel there. They don't believe him anymore. They don't really, they're not willing to follow him. And on the other hand, then he's got Pharaoh that's saying, "No, I don't know this God that you're speaking of, and I'm not letting them out, and I'm increasing the burdens upon them." So the children of Israel are blaming him, and Pharaoh here is intent upon discrediting him, because Pharaoh understands that when Moses went to this people and he told them that, you know, "God's going to rescue us, he's going to bring us out of bondage here, he's going to take us into a land flowing with milk and honey." When Moses did that, the children of Israel had hope, and when they had that hope, they knew that they were leaving. Well, that Pharaoh, truthfully, he needed them. He needed that them to build the cities. And he doesn't want them to have hope. He doesn't want them to trust in Moses. And so he's intent upon driving this wedge in between Moses and the children of Israel. And Moses understands that, I'm sure. Moses, he's having some doubts himself. You can tell that by the way that he's speaking to God there. He's saying, "Well, you know, they didn't, the children of Israel didn't listen to me. If they won't listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me?" So at that point's when God kind of props him up a little bit. He gives him the renewed promises that has been made. And then he gives him the charge again. Go out and do this thing. Go do what he's been told to do. So as I studied this, the thought came to my mind, you know, it's pretty easy for me to read this and know how it's going to turn out. And, you know, I kind of tend to think, "Oh, you don't have anything to worry about, Moses. God's on your side." But when I put myself in that situation, it's not so easy. And I know that I would be like the children of Israel. I would be getting downtrodden and discouraged and wondered. And my own situation came to mind here. You know, y'all all know that my job has come to an end, and I'm out looking for a job. And I mean, I believe God's going to take care of me. I believe He's there for me to see me through. I do believe that. But nevertheless, I'm kind of like, "Well, where am I going to work? What's going to happen?" You know, these questions come to your mind, and what I'm faced with is nowhere near as much of a trial and a tribulation as what this people was faced with. So, you know, I have a little bit of a understanding there for what they're going through, and some, not to say that it's okay. I mean, they should have trusted God. They should have believed Moses. They should have known that the God that they worshiped was capable of taking care of this. Now, I say that, and I should know also and trust God, but, you know, it's human nature to kind of question, to kind of wonder, what does the future hold? You know, you just want to know what's going to happen. But we can't always know that. So, anyway, let's stop and think for a moment. What if Pharaoh had said, Moses had gone up and he said, let the people go, we have to go worship the God, and Pharaoh says, all right, you know, I understand, you want to worship your God, and go ahead on out and do that. You know, if Pharaoh had done that, the children of Israel, they wouldn't have been outside the borders of Egypt before. They'd be going, you know, this is all we had to do all along. We just had to go up there and ask to leave, and he let us leave. We didn't have to be going through all that. They wouldn't have given God any honor or any glory at all. They would have felt as if they did it all. But all they had to do was ask, and Pharaoh would let them. And they wouldn't have been of much use to God at that point, because they would have, and you know that's true. You know that when something's easily given to you, when you just, you don't appreciate it. You don't, and then that's just human nature. And I think that that's what this people would have done had Moses gone in and said, God sent me, you know, I'm going to lead you all out, and goes up to Pharaoh. And they may have given some lip service. They may, oh, well, God's good. God took care of us. He helped. But in their heart, I have to believe they would have been thinking, yeah, we just walked on out of there. We did this. That's just, I mean, that's the way I believe they would have done. But as we study this people, and you know, we're not any different. We're the same humans. We're the same saved individuals. I think that some of those people were saved back then. Some of them weren't. The Bible says they came out a mixed lot, and I don't think that we today are much different than that. And the reason I say that, how often do we hear one of our own people say, you know, God put a burden on my heart. He wanted me to go talk to this person, or he wanted me to do this, and I didn't want to do it. I dug my heels in, and I resisted. Well, that's, you know, that's because we don't think God's going to do what he said he's going to do. We don't believe it's going to turn out the way he said it would be. For whatever reason, I mean, it's our human nature to kind of dig our heels in and say, oh, God, you've got the wrong person for this job. You chose the wrong man here. And we saw that earlier with Moses. When God wanted Moses to go in, Moses came up with all these excuses. Well, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak well. He had all kinds of reasons why he didn't need to be the one to do this. And yet, we know that God knows better, that if God gives one of us something to do, God will be there with us. If we serve God, if we do what God asks for us, we all know that God's going to take care of it. If God's truly in something, then it's going to turn out the way that God would have it to do, if we'll do our part. And yet, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for y'all, because I don't know how y'all are. But it's easy for something to derail me. It's easy for something to come along and say, oh, it wasn't meant to be, wasn't supposed to do that, whatever. It's easy for me to get discouraged and say, man, it's just not going right. Well, just because God says for us to do something doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. He will be there. He's promised us he will be there, and I have belief that he will be. But sometimes it's necessary for things to not go so easy, for us to go through some trials and tribulations. And maybe not for us, maybe not to build us up. And we often talk about that, how, you know, these trials and tribulations, they serve to help us to grow and things like that. But you know, it might not be that, because as I spoke a little bit about these people, when they came out, if Pharaoh had just let them on out, I think they would have gone out with pride in their hearts if they had accomplished this. But also, you know, after we know what's going to come to pass here in a short period of time, how that all the plagues are going to be upon the Egyptians, and how God's going to bring them out with a strong arm. He's going to perform some miracles. We know that's going to happen. Well, had those things not happened, and those things did happen, and I believe word spread to the countries that were round about, to the lands that these children of Israel would be going into, the word of what happened spread. Those other peoples knew about this God that these children of Israel worshiped. They knew what this God did for his children. Now, I'm speaking as time goes on here. And so the countries round about fear them. They know there's something different about that people. So, you know, it wasn't just for the children of Israel that these things come to be. It's so that God's power and his honor and his glory shines out through the whole world. And we're no different today. When we go through trials and hardships, if we stay near to God and we serve him faithfully, you know, it may help us to grow. It may make us better Christians. But even if it doesn't, when the people around us see these things, they see what's going on, they know there's something getting us through that. They can see that there's something in our life that they don't have. And so we don't need to just necessarily think that the trials and tribulations are for us. It may be for somebody that's watching us that we don't even know about. So I guess the point for me personally is not to grow so easily discouraged, not to grow so accept defeat so much, but to get up and to keep serving God and to do whatever it is that he would have me to do to the best of my ability. And that's what this people needed to do. You know, God was faithful to them, even though that they kind of grew downtrodden and they kind of turned against Moses. God was still faithful. He remembered the promise that he made. He did bring them out. He forgave them for what their murmurings and their grumblings. And they did that throughout the whole time that they were being wandering around in the wilderness. And they wandered around in that wilderness because of their own sin. And yet God was still with them. The Bible teaches us, and I don't know if I'm getting into next quarter's lesson or not, but it teaches us how their clothes didn't wear out, and you know, they had food to eat in the wilderness. God was with that people even though they didn't really serve him the way that they ought to have. God's with us today also. For all the problems that we have and for all the failures that we have, God still hears and answers our prayers. He's still there for us. We just turn to him and ask him. He'll answer our prayers just like he did with his people at this time. You know, he had the power to make things right, and he did. He did rescue them. He did bring them out of the bondage of Egypt like he said they were going to, even though they didn't have as much faith as they should have had. He has promised us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And yet, we still, as God's people, we tend to have our moments of doubt sometimes, just like they did. But we know if we'll just turn to him, we'll go back to that time when he saved our soul, if nothing else. You know, remember that. Remember where you were. Now, I'm not talking about the physical, like I was right here physically, but where you were in your heart, where you were in your mind, how you felt, what you were thinking about, what you promised God when he saved your soul. Because if God saved your soul, and I believe y'all have been saved from your own testimony, but you made him a promise, because I did. I promised him I'd do what he wanted me to do. Lord, just save me. Just forgive me of my sins and get me out of this place that I'm in spiritually, and I'll serve you. I'll do what you want me to do. You know, I might not use those words, but that was the thought upon my heart. Anything you want, it's yours, but forgive me. And, you know, if you stop and you go back to that point, you'll lose a lot of the the doubts, the grumblings, the, well, it's not working out right, I guess I was wrong, I guess this wasn't meant to be, whatever. Because you trusted in God. You believed in Him. You put everything in with Him. And that's what we as God's people need to, it's where we need to be all the time. And, you know, it's that's saying a lot. I realize that. But I believe it's true. We need to always have the same trust and believe that God's going to be there for us as we head at that time. Okay, I went ahead and covered everything that's on down further in my notes there, so I'm about done. Does anybody have any thoughts on their minds, questions? You know, as I stand up here and I say these things to y'all, and it's easy to say this thing. It's easy to say, and it's easy for us as saved people to tell the lost, trust God, believe in Him, turn it all over to Him. I mean, those are things that we say. And people told me that also when I was lost, and they were right. That's what I needed to do. But it was, at the time I thought I was doing that. At the time I thought, I do trust God. I do believe in Him. I felt like I was doing everything that everybody said for me to do. And I guess I was, as much as was possible with me. But the one thing was, and I didn't realize, I was leaving out that I couldn't do it all. That I couldn't, I didn't have it in me. And it's kind of a contradiction there to say, but there wasn't anything in me that could do what needed to be done. And when people told me to trust in Him, to my mind, that meant I had to trust in Him. But the truth was, I had to be willing to let the Lord put that trust in my heart, because I could go as far as I could go, and it wasn't enough. So, we've got to do what we can do. We've got to serve God as best we can. But we also have to realize that what we can do isn't enough. He has to be in it. He has to take it the rest of the way. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments?
Terry, I really enjoyed your lesson. I
believe
it did for many, many things that you said. And it's a good reminder when we struggle sometimes to know that if He just handed it to us, we wouldn't appreciate it. He wouldn't get any honor and glory out of that. And even though that easy road is the one we would like, it's probably not the one that's best for us. Quick story, and I'm going to ask y'all to pray for me, and we'll do something kind of silly. I'm a Red Hatter. Most of y'all know that. I'm now a Red Hatter. I'm not a Pink Hatter anymore. But anyway, this year in our annual anniversary, we're going to all dress up as a famous man. I just happened to think Moses. Not because we were studying it, but because it just came to me one morning when I was reading. What y'all will get to eventually, when he's standing there at the bush and he's got that rod in his hand and he throws it down and becomes the snake, God just said, there you go, be Moses. So I'm going to be Moses, and I'm going to tell a group of women that probably do not have salvation about God's called children, and I need the Lord to use it because He can. And sometimes with people, we kind of have to do it from the backside because they're not willing to look at it in the forefront. So I appreciate if y'all would pray for me that God would give me that time to really show to them something that might pierce their heart a little bit or just sow a little seed, because I've been sowing for a long time. So just pray for me that God would use Moses in a way that to give Him the honor and turn these ladies' hearts soft.
Thank you. Enjoy
your lesson.
Thank you. Let's keep Brother Maggard in prayers before we be with him as he stands today. If there's a...
I just like to say, I think that's what faith is not being able to see the path clearly. You know, it's not a fully lit path. Faith is just being able to far enough to take one step, and then another step, you know, and another step with the Lord. And that's the way He intends it to be. And the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. The Lord sees the whole future, but we don't. We can't.
that's everything, we can be dismissed. I'll ask Brother Langford if he would dismiss us.
Most kind, Christ, the Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this another day. Thank you, the Lord, for the ones who came to Sunday school as well. Pray, Lord, that they have some common. Ask, Lord, that they might take it with them.